Serum infusion. Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's Geek Stuff, TNG.
Who?
The longest running geek-related podcast out there, Geek Stuff TNG.
Allegedly.
But also, really.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. I'm Spider-Man, then.
I am the Senate.
I am the Sandwich.
I can handle things! I'm smart! Not like everybody says! Like, dumb! I'm smart, and I want respect!
They don't know what it's like running a sandwich shop. You know, it takes a village to run the sandwich shop.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I'm Groot.
I am Batman!
I am West Coast Scott.
Great Scott!
Oh, actually, he's the boss. I just pay for everything and design everything and make everyone look cooler.
I am Big Kev.
Who the hell knows why talent does what they do? That's why they're talent.
Me and Scott.
Yeah.
The real talent on the show.
Oh, boy.
As I like to say.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I have a very long history with those characters. Scott will remember this, but Sandwich won't because he was 4.
I understood that reference.
I am Optimus Prime.
Why did you say that name?
Punch it!
Hi, everybody. West Coast Scott here. I've got some bad news on this 4th of July. The Sandwich went on a 4th of July outing to Amity Island, and we haven't seen him since. So, probably not going to have a show this holiday. Kev's on a plane right now to get out there, and we'll have more news next week. I'm going to just try to put in an interview that I did with superfan David D about Huracan, which could be the last convention that Sandwich ever went to. So I'm going to play a recording of the social medias and all of that, and then we'll go into an interview with superfan David D. So let's do the socials. Be sure you're following the show on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, also known as X, Instagram, I don't know, any other ones. It's pretty much Geek Stuff TNG on all of the social medias out there. You can also check out our website. It's geekstufftng.com. If you want to participate in the show, you can always call the GVM line.
201-730-2547.
And you can send us an email, too. We take those.
geekstufftng@gmail.com.
Yeah. But most importantly, if you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/geekstufftng. Just $1 a month, you get access to the show's private Discord server, where you can chat with members of the show. Be sure and @mention Kev if you want him to respond. If you want to support the show at the $3 a month level, we call that the Early Bird Special, where you get the new shows just as soon as we're done recording them. Usually that is Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, so a little bit early. At $5 a month, it's the bonus round, where you get the vintage episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff on the 1st and the 15th, and then extra shows that we throw in there from time to time, like a sandwich shop or, you know, a Pi Day Studios or whatever it may be. And then at $10 a month, you get to watch the show live as we record it on, now Zoom Live. Used to be Instagram Live, but we're doing it on Zoom these days.
Ooh.
Hi, this is Kevin, co-owner of The Hungry Dragon, here with my other co-owner, Johnny.
Hello.
So, Johnny, where can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook, The Hungry Dragon, and you can find us on Instagram at the_hungry_dragon, And if you want to, our best way to get a hold of all live events is on our Discord. There's a link to it on our Facebook cover page. If you click the cover, there's a link right to it.
We are a gaming shop and cafe located in Murrieta, California. We are open from noon to 8 o'clock.
From Tuesday to Thursday. And on Fridays and Saturdays, we're open from noon to 10 p.m. And we're just closed on Mondays.
All right, we look forward to seeing you there.
All right, we're here with super fan David D. He's you're the founder of Huracan, right? Like, it's all your idea, right?
Well, it wasn't my idea. What had happened was the church that I belong to in East Rockaway, New York, which is on Long Island, and it's not in Queens, by the way. Everybody thinks when they say here Rockaway, they think Queens. Queens is Far Rockaway. East Rockaway is Nassau County, kind of different, kind of more South Shore, Long Island. And so what had happened was the church needed to raise some money. What had happened was Hurricane Sandy had hit East Rockaway really bad. People got flooded out. And there was a sewage plant in the neighborhood that got flooded, and the sewage was coming up through the sewers. Okay, it was crazy. And my parents actually lived in East Rockaway, so their house got flooded. And the problem was, the house got flooded, and the whole basement was filled with water, about 5 feet of water, and there was no electricity to get a pump in there. So we had to wait like 3 days to get a gas pump to pump it out. So we did that. And then what was happening in East Rockaway was people were bringing donations to the firehouse and saying, come on in, you want to get clothes or batteries or food or medicine or what have you, cool. And then the fire department said, we can't keep this stuff in the fire department. You know, we're a fire department. You got to go. So my pastor at that point, his name was Mark Lukens. He was the pastor of Bethany Church in East Rockaway. And he said, hey, you can move it to the church. So we moved it to the church, and if anybody wants to see pictures, there's pictures up, I think on the link tree. I'll tell you what that is later. And there were just four long rows of tables filled with clothes and medicine and food and cleaning supplies, you name it. But what had happened was people had tracked in from the outside. They tracked in the dirt. They tracked in the mud. They tracked in the sewage. They tracked in the oil. They destroyed the gym floor of the church. So promises were made by certain people that, hey, we'll help you out with it. I said, okay, great, great. So about a year after, I call up and I said to that person who promised us, it was from the local government, I said, hey, we're ready to do the floor. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, you said we were the official relief center and now we have to redo the floor. They said, we can't do that. I said, what do you mean? They said, the village can't pay for a church's floor. That the people would go crazy over that. I'm like, all right, well. So I went back to the Board of Trustees and they said, well, you got to find out a way to raise money to do this. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I was thinking, what can we do? I said, well, we have this gymnasium. I said, let's try and get a comic convention to come in and do it, you know? So I went to two local cons. They both turned me down and I said, why? What's the problem? You know, it's a great space and you got a kitchen, you know, it's parking, all the deal. They said, we can't make any money. I said, all right, fine. So I go home to my wife, Linda, and I said, Linda, she says, what happened? I said, well, they don't want to do it. And I told her why. And she says, well, okay, you do it. And I looked at my wife and I said, Linda, why would I want to run a comic book convention? And Linda looked at me and said, I don't know. Why would you want to run a comic book convention? And that's how Huracan became Huracan. And so we raised the money. The first year, we pretty much paid off the floor. What had happened was the people that had promised us some dough actually showed up the day of Huracan. And I'm looking at these guys, and they says, oh, David, hi. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? They're like, oh, we're here to see the show. I'm like, well, yeah, we're doing the show to pay for the floor. They're like, yeah, here's a check. And they paid for almost half of it. I'm like, what's going on? But that was great. But that started the whole thing rolling about doing it. And doing some work for the church. And also my feeling about the Huracan is when I went to shows in Manhattan, it was great because it didn't matter who you were, what color you were, what sex you were, you know, what your ethnicity was. Everybody was welcome at these shows. Mm-hmm. You got to remember back then comic book conventions were a totally different scene, man. You know, you were and I wouldn't even call us the nerds. You were sort of the outcasts, you know. I'll never forget when in grammar school, one nasty girl saw me reading a comic and she said to me, you read baby books? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we've been talking about how it's almost too common. You know what I mean? So it doesn't feel as special as it used to because it's so pervasive in just
it's everywhere. It's you know, everywhere.
Yeah. But
it's everywhere. But to me, you know, the shows that I went to in Manhattan, you were just accepted. And I got together with a bunch of guys, and, you know, I came from a very, very like lily white town. You know, I'm hanging out with African American kids and gay kids and what have you. And we all have the same interests, you know, and I'd go back and see them. We'd hang out. And so I wanted to bring that to the Hurricane. I wanted to say to everybody, hey, you know, this is a safe place. Doesn't matter who you are. Come on in. And we're, you know, so it's a dual thing. It's raising money for the church so they can continue on their mission. What does the church do? They, you know, they collect food for the local pantry. We house the Boy Scouts. We house another church. We house AA. You know, it's like a real community center for the church. We just counseling service just is at the church now also. So it's a real community center. So we're trying to, you know, you got to pay the bills. COVID was tough.
Yeah.
COVID was tough. In fact, we didn't do Hurricane for almost a year and a half because of it. So we've been doing pretty well. You know, it's a small show, which anybody will tell you, it's a small show. But we always try and have like some local creators there, some local comic artists or artists. So like we just kind of do regular artists too, local artists that are there, whether they do like stained glass or prints or what have you. It's good to have that there too because it mixes it up for everybody. But there's a lot of comics. I'm very, very fortunate. I got a bunch of pals that collect original comic art. That's what you're seeing up there, the comic art.
Yeah.
And they come because they've collected all this stuff over the years. And they come in with like signed books and artist editions and Mezcos that they want to get rid of and stuff. And it's like, great. We hooked up with a guy last year, a guy named Mike Negan. He works for New York Comic Con and Chicago Con, all of this stuff. He brought in all these Alex Ross prints and all this cool stuff. And we always have great stuff at the raffle. The raffle is insane. I mean, I work for AMC Broadcasting and Technology. I work in master control, putting the shows on the air. And one year, like Hurricane was maybe like 2-3 years old, I decided, let me contact somebody here at the company. Maybe they could do something for me. So the first year, they gave me this huge basket. It had every episode of The Walking Dead on Blu-ray. It had a knapsack. It had shoes. It had a hat. I mean, you name it. This thing was packed. And we had to take it apart to kind of raffle the stuff off. Last year, we had Negan's bat, and we had Michonne's katana.
Nice.
And the katana was a real sword. And we're like, okay, you got to be over 18. So the bat, I can't really say much. But the sword, you have to have that. So they've been extremely supportive. The town's really supportive. The guys I hang out with are really supportive. My family is supportive. Like I was telling you about David and Jack, they're both there. David's girlfriend, Faith, is there. She's done artwork for me. Jack's wife, Maria, comes down. She helps at the door, and she helps just also. So I got all that support from Jack, Maria, David, Faith. My wife, Linda, comes down. She works in the kitchen. We sell food. We sell hot dogs, canishes. We have something called the Walking Taco, which is kind of a Walking Dead kind of thing, where they make a taco and a bag of Fritos, which is kind of fun. People okay. like that. My mom, who's 93 years old, she'll be there holding court. She sits at a table. Everybody comes up to her, and they want to talk to her. Half the time, her hearing aids aren't on. So we have an artist who worked for DC and Marvel. His name is Keith Williams, the nicest guy you would ever want to meet. He's done some great work for me, some commission work. He's talking to my mother, and I'm like, Keith, man, she can't hear a word you're saying, man. She doesn't. So we had a good laugh over that. And every once in a while, we can get I had a kid from the high school last year come down who drew a manga, and she just did that for the whole day. And it was great because, you know, she gets a little exposure to everybody,
right,
and everybody gets to see what she's doing. So that's great, too. And so now we do it twice a year. We're only doing it once a year. And last year, in December, the furnace died at the church. So they said to me, David, man, we got a big bill. We got to raise some money. I'm like, well, I don't know. What do you want to do? They said, could you do another show? I'm like, you want me to do two a year? They said, oh, yeah, can you do another? And I said, okay. And they said, hey, don't call it Hurricane. Call it Furnace Con. So last year we did a Furnace Con also,
right,
to raise money for church.
No, I love it. And so it was Hurricane Sandy was 2008, right?
Yeah, it was actually, I just did a post. It was 12 years. No, it was 12 years ago. So it's 2010.
2010. Okay.
And it was on Halloween too, which was crazy.
Right.
It was on Halloween. So the kids missed out on Halloween. You know, and that's another thing. When you come, the admission to get in at the door is $5. That's a don't. Everything's a donation to the church, by the way. The tables are a donation. We can't take any money. But I say any kid under 12 in costume is free because we usually did it after Halloween, so they'd have their costumes. This year, it's in July. It's July 20th. It's like 2 weeks away. Yeah, July 20th. And then we're doing it again on November 23rd. And the reason we're doing it in July, we usually do it in June or do it in August, but Long Island is packed with comic book conventions. It is just, there is an embarrassment of riches with Comic-Cons in, not even New York City, in Long Island. There's just so many. And I don't want to compete with anybody. I don't want to take anybody's business away. You know, mine, like I said, is a total fundraiser. Everything goes back to the church. I mean, I can't tell you how much comes out of my pocket today. But hey, it is what it is. You know, like I'm always getting stuff for the raffle. We have a lot of big omnibuses. We have some McFarlane two-packs. I know some stuff is coming from the job. And everybody just shows up with something. It's amazing. And the raffle is probably the biggest part. The biggest part of the fundraiser is the raffle. It's just so many unique items that people want. And, you know, they're buying tickets. They're going. It takes almost an hour and a half to do the whole thing. And then for some reason, Scott, they put a mic in my hand. So it's not just a raffle. It's like a stand-up thing. We're telling jokes and I'm pointing people out. And I love when local people come that I don't know is going to come. Like last year, my dentist showed up. So I grabbed the microphone. I said, hey, my dentist, Dr. Lerner, is here. And he looked at me and I said, did I embarrass you? He goes, no, kind of liked it. Because people were coming up and asking, oh, where are you a dentist down the street? Oh, great.
I mean, it's really the community thing, right? I mean, that's what makes
I really want to, you know, what I did with the East Rockaway Community recently is I said, look, this is what the gym looked like. You know, so if you came down here to get batteries for your flashlight or get, you know, some Tylenol or what have you, I need you to come down on July 20th and like show the love back to Bethany.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to like spend a lot of money, but just come down, show us that you're here.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get crowds of people. Okay. We don't, but we get a pretty good dedicated crew. I mean, a lot of people, it's funny. You see people out of the corner of your eye and like, damn, they've come to like every show, you know, but they don't come up and say hello to me. It's like, come on, say hello to me. I want to see you. But I guess maybe I'm a little too loud for them and they don't want to know that I know that they're there.
Still that old nerd stereotype, you know, a little introverted sometimes, you know, you don't want to be called out by the guy on stage with a microphone.
and I call it a comic art convention. I mean, there is definitely a presence of comics. I mean, we have at least like five or six dealers coming down. Like I mentioned, Keith Williams is coming down. There's an artist called, his name is Eddie Avila, and he's coming down, and he's been supporting us since day one. He's never been able to come now. He's coming. Another pal of mine, Phil Russert, who publishes the comic Tragedy, he's coming down and showing his stuff. So, and I got, there's a book called Children of the Woods. It's written by a guy named Joe Ciano, and it's a really creepy comic, creepy graphic novel. He's coming down. So that's fun. He's a character because what he'll do is if you come down to his table and you start talking, he'll say to you, oh, would you like me to do a really bad drawing of a superhero? And I'm like, okay. So I'll do a bad drawing of Doctor Strange and hand it to you for free. So it's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it that way. The whole vibe of the thing is, look, you're here to have a good time. You're here to support the church, you know? And that's really what it is. And we have a great comic shop, local comic shop here in town. It's called Cosmic Comics. They're on Merrick Road in Baldwin. And they give us a load of free comics to give away. So we have a whole table when you come in of just grab whatever you want. Doesn't matter. And, you know, you're always thinking about it all year, but how do you publicize it? How do you publicize it? And this is fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. And I was thinking about something else. So now I go into East Rockaway with my flyers and I hang them up. I go into the neighboring towns. And I don't know if you have them in California. Do you have these like little libraries that people put up and like?
The community libraries. Yeah.
Yeah. So now what I do with those is I take about 10 comics and I shove Huracan flyers in them and I put those in those little libraries and they're gone. The next time I come by, they're gone. Now, I don't know if the person who has like, this is a literature taking it out or somebody's taking it. I don't know. I hope not, because we're trying to get you're always trying to think of the next way to get the word out. Like local media, the local newspaper, no problem. They always want to talk about it. But like the local news stations, for some reason, man, they don't want to help you out. You know, we have a writer here. He writes for the New York Times about comics. And I said to him, I said, hey, you know what? Can I get you to do a story? He's like, nah, it's not what we're into or whatever. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
At least he answered me. So I have no problem with that. At least we talk. And he said, that's not what my editor wants. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. You know, it's a fundraiser. What else? It's a human interest story. What can be better?
Exactly.
You know, you come back and you're going to find out about you know, this guy or that, you know, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
You try. It's very hard. It's hard, Scott. It's very hard to do. It really is. It's not easy.
I know. I really want to get more involved with some of the local stuff here too. Just last weekend, there was it's the third year that they've had it, but it's just a local, like in the city at the high school gym, little show. And, yeah. You know, so I talked to the guy that organized that, and he said, yeah, well, we didn't have one in our town. I talked to I happen to know the mayor, and I asked about it, and, you know, and just kind of made it happen. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's cool. And it's just, and it's, you know, 3 years on, it's gotten a little bit bigger every year. And I'm like, that's the way to do it. Because, you know, I'm in, you know, Murrieta, California. So it's like, we have to drive down to San Diego or over to LA to get to anything. It's like, you know, it's close enough, you know, an hour and a half or so, but it's nice if there's something that's right there. So I'm excited about that. And the same thing with, you know, for me, I'm into, I like board games too. And there's like a new board game cafe just opened in town. And I'm like, all right, so now I have to, I want to get to know the guys because they're the local game store, right? You know, I got to support them, so I got to go there and buy some stuff, you know? And it's like, and then I got to find time to go there and play. So it's like, everybody's got busy lives, and it's hard to do, but you have to make time for things like this, and you have to support the community, because if you don't, you know, if you don't support it, it's not going to last, you know? And it's really, so I'm trying right now, I'm trying to get more involved with stuff like that. And it's more a time management thing than anything else, but I really want to do more of that. And it's like, and I also know, you know, I mean, the show's from New Jersey, you know, and so I'm like, well, but I've been on the show for a couple of years now, and I'm in California. I'm going to start to do stuff out here too, and we'll just be, yeah. You know, wherever. It's not like literally, if somebody were to call me and say, hey, we're a show in, you know, the middle of the country, and they want to talk about it, I'm like, great, let's talk about it. You know, I want to go to that next level where I just want to make our community all the geek stuff across the country, right? Not just,
yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, international. Let's go international.
Absolutely. I think we've got some Canadian listeners, so maybe we are international, but we can keep it going. But yeah, so I want to do more of that kind of stuff too. So I'm like, you know, we always have like where we want to take it. And so let me ask, so a couple other questions. Like when you say, okay, we're going to do this, like, how do you find the artists to come to it? Like, how do you start that part of it? How do you get the comic book stores? Do you just kind of go knocking on doors or what?
Well, in the beginning, you know, when I wanted to do it, I knew I had about five friends that would definitely take tables. I talked to them and they're like, oh yeah, I got to sell these books. I got to sell these comics. I got to sell this art. So I knew I had that covered. And then I just started, you know, going to the local shows and introducing myself, showing a card, explaining to them what it is. And that kind of got the ball rolling there. And if you look on, I get it's the Huracan Instagram. I even got into a little guerrilla thing going. When I would go to New York Comic Con, I would wait till like maybe Saturday, and I would start putting posters up in the show.
Yep.
And run away. And some of them lasted a couple of days. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you put the QR code on there, so they just got to scan it, and they know what it's all about.
Yep.
So I did the New York Comic Con. And whenever I see somebody at a show, I always ask them, like if it's an artist I'm interested in or a dealer, I say, hey, are you local? Because if they're local, it's not going to give them a problem. If they're from Jersey and they got to travel all the way to East Rockaway, that's kind of tough, man. They're not going to – hold on 1 second. Scott Power's going, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Hold on. Plug it in. Hold on. Don't want to lose you. There we go. Sorry, Scott. So, yeah, what I want to do is, you know, I always ask them if they're local. And I said, look, you know, we're in East Rockaway if you want to come out. So that's how I did it. So that built up. And then now, you know, not that I have people banging down the doors, but I mean, as of right now, and we're almost 2 weeks away, you know, we're all sold out on the tables, which is fantastic. Now, look, somebody always cancels. It's just part of the gig. You know, you always got to know somebody's going to cancel. That's fine, man. We don't take anything up front. There's no contracts or anything like that. Again, it's the whole feel of the show. You're here to have a good time. Everybody's cool. That's how we work it. But it's just, you know, like I said, there's a lot of shows on Long Island, so you can find all those people. You go down to the show, you pass out your card, or you put some cards on the table when people coming in, and they get in touch with you. I have like two or three people got in touch with me just recently who do like sort of the same type of charity type things and they wanted to get involved. That's great. You know, that's what we do. So it's slow. It's a slow build and it's pretty much me. You know, my son, Jack comes up with a lot of ideas. You should do this. You should do that. David helps out, you know, about stuff I should do. Linda gives me ideas on stuff I should do, you know. And there's a little tight group of guys that run shows. So every once in a while, I'll throw an idea at them or they'll throw an idea at me. It's a good group of guys. Like I said, I don't try and step on anybody's toes. I don't want to do a show the same day as them. So whenever I'm announcing, I try and announce it months ahead of time so people right. know, hey, we're doing it on July 20th. Don't do a show on that Saturday. Do it the week before or the week after. Right. And for this one, it's great. And I think in November, nobody's doing anything either, which is great. Awesome. That's what you want. I don't want to be in competition with anybody. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
We're all here to have a good time.
So what are the dates again? You got one in July and one in November.
Yep. July. The July show is July 20th. Okay. And that is, that's a Saturday. And then we also have November 23rd and that's a Saturday. The church is located at 100 Main Street in East Rockaway, New York, 11518. You can search Harakon on Facebook. You can search it on Instagram. You can search it on Twitter. It's all Harakon. Just look for, there is a Harakon in Florida. And I think that's more of a gaming show.
Yeah.
So that's the different one. That's not us. And we're only named Harakon because it's a Hurricane Sandy thing. That's why we named it that.
Right.
And so we're doing it twice this year. And you know, we've had other people come down. Franco, who's an artist for DC and Marvel, he drew Tiny Titans and stuff like that. He came down one year. So that was amazing. I'm like, why are you here? He goes, oh, well, you know, I know you. And because we see him at all the shows and he's extremely nice to us. So he came down. And we're just trying to attract, you know, we want to keep the comic book stuff going because, you know, we want people to look at these guys and respect what they do. You know, you think about all these creators that, like even a guy, there's a guy, I don't know if you know the writer Peter David, but he suffered a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go to GoFundMe to pay for some of his stuff. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. This guy, of all people, you know, has got to be in a financial bind because he had a stroke. I mean, why isn't Marvel taking care of this guy? He created so many. He's created Spider-Man 2099.
Right.
And if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have that character in the latest movie. And he was a big character in that movie. Why can't they help the guy out? So I actually wrote a letter to Robert Iger, the head of Disney, explaining the situation. Didn't hear back. You never know. But maybe I'll have to send it again. We'll see.
That's right.
It's tough. It's tough. I really, but like when I was telling you about Joe Giella, who did those two pieces behind me, when I got to know him, you know, he in his like late 80s and 90s, a friend of mine from that group of guys I was telling you about said, I can rep you at shows. Let's start doing commissions. And he was pumping stuff out like you wouldn't believe. And the last Terrificon he was at, Terrificon is in Connecticut. He had the biggest line of people waiting for him to sign. And he even looked at my friend Jeff and he goes, who are these people here? You're four. And I'm like, Joe, it's for you. Because Joe at that point was the oldest living Batman artist at the time. And he was also a ghost for Kane. And I'll tell you a funny story. He told me that back in the day when it was black and white TV and Kane would come on, Bob Kane would come on and they'd have a big easel for him to sketch Batman or sketch Robin or what have you. Kane would grab Joe Giella and say, look, I need you to sketch this out in blue pencil so I can just go over with a marker. And the blue pencil wouldn't show up on the black and white TV. So Kane's over there. It looked like he's doing all freehand starting over here and doing that. And it was all there already.
It's amazing. Now, he drew it like it was nothing.
I mean, a guy like Jack Kirby, everybody always says he could start at the top and go down. It was in his head, you know. But with Kane, it's like, seriously, dude? And luckily, you know, they gave Bill Finger some credit because Bill Finger was created so many aspects of Batman, Gotham City, the Bat Signal, Robin, Commissioner Gordon. All this stuff came from Bill Finger, not from Bob Kane. I mean, if Bob Kane had his way, Batman's outfit would have been red and yellow, not black and gray.
Right.
Like, okay, well, I don't think that's would still be around nowadays without Finger. And Finger died as like in a pauper's grave, this poor guy. You know, it was so sad. Look at all that cool stuff. Wow, look at that.
Did I show you this one? This is the one I picked up, and I spent too much money on it, but it was, I mean, I don't know if you can see, it's got, like, I think 12 different autographed Bruce Timms on there, George Lopez, George...
Perez?
George Perez, yeah. And so it's like,
I see Brian Bolin over there, Jerry Robinson, Marshall Rogers in the corner. Look at all that. Alex Ross behind you. Wow.
Yeah. So
Garcia Lopez in the upper corner. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's number 100 of 100. So I'm like, I was looking at it. I'm like, God, that's so cool. And so, yeah.
How many signatures are on that?
I think it's 12. It's either 12 or 13.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. That is really cool.
Yeah. Wow. So I picked that one up. They had, again, it was a limited number of them, but it's that like Da Vinci Batman, you know, the Bob Kane, and it's got Bob Kane, and I think it's an actual Bob Kane signature, not on in their number. And I almost like I couldn't, I'm not gonna get both, it was way too much, but that one was more affordable. I probably should have got that one, wouldn't break the bank, but I know he's got a few of them.
We got Neil Adams up there, man. That's a $50 signature right there.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean that was Neil it Adams. I really thought about it, but it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And it's so big. It takes up like the whole wall. So I'm like redoing my whole Batman, my loft out there. But so yeah. And I might pick up that Bob Kane, one next time I see the guy. So
I'll tell you a funny story about Neil Adams. When Marvel and DC put out the Superman versus Spider-Man book, and what they did was the creators they picked had worked on the characters before. So Jerry Conway had written Superman and Spider-Man. Ross Andrew, the penciler, had penciled Spider-Man and they also penciled Superman. And Dick Giordano did the inking on it. And so what happened was Dick Giordano was sharing a studio with Neil Adams at that time. And he would bring pages back to the studio to work on. And I guess he left some of the pencils laying around. And Neil Adams started inking somebody. He's like, hey, this is going to be an amazing book. You know, I want to be part of it. But he was uncredited. So, you know, I get the book and I'm looking at it. Remember, it's oversized. It was a Treasury edition. Like, this doesn't look like Giordano. This looks like Neil Adams inks. It's wow. So it became like an urban legend that he worked on. You know, and I saw him at a New York show one time and I showed him the Superman, Spider-Man book. And he looks at me and he says, David, why are you handing me this book? I said, well, I know that you did some inking on it. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, you know, here's what we'll do. You pick out a page you think I worked on, and if it's right, I'll sign it. So I went, I said, how about this? He goes, yep. So he signed a page. Then John Romita was at the same show. John Romita worked on Spider-Man for years. Took over after Steve Ditko. And I know that he had done corrections on the book, too. Like, he always would do Peter Parker's face or Mary Jane's face or what have you. So I went up to him and he's like, why are you showing me this book? I said, man, I know you did some work. And I said, same thing. Show me what I did. And I signed it. And I showed him that I did that too. So he signed it. I don't have Giordano's, I don't have Jerry Conway's signature on it or Ross Andrews, but Dick Giordano, three guys that worked on it. I got two guys that sort of kind of worked on it. They signed it for me. But it's a cool book. They're actually reprinting that in a huge omnibus. They're going to put an omnibus out of the Superman, Spider-Man, the Batman, Hulk, I mean, the Teen Titans, X-Men, all this stuff. It's going to be huge. Really worth your time to check it out. That's very, very, very cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and that piece is great, man. Wow, it's so nice.
I really do. I do like it a lot.
Totally worth it. That Joker in the corner on the bottom is Marshall Rogers. Is that signed by him too or not?
Bottom Joker. See, I can't tell. I can't tell from the picture.
Oh, you can't tell. Don't worry about it. He's actually that Joker, Marshall Rogers, he's like my favorite artist. I think he's just amazing. He's passed away since he's done all that work, but he's an amazing artist. I love his work.
Yeah. It's got the certificate of authenticity on the back with the names of everybody that signed it. I'll have to look. I'll get a better picture of it and I'll send it to you after we're done.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very
cool. All right. Okay. So I think we got everything we need. And so I'm going to, I'll put this out this week on Friday, like the normal episode. Let me just say, I still want to record an ad too, but let me end the interview like this. So again, David, you know, we appreciate you having you on the show. We appreciate you calling in. We appreciate your mom calling in. We appreciate members of your family playing Fortnite with Kev, because God knows he needs that. So, you know, we really do appreciate you. You know, we're glad to support HerCon. And anybody in the area, get out there on July 20th and then again in November.
July 20th and also November 23rd. July 20th and November 23rd, 10 o'clock in the morning till 5. Again, Bethany Congregational Church, 100 Main Street, East Rockaway, New York, 11518. Look us up on Facebook. Hurricon, H-U-R-R-I-C-O-N. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. If you want to talk to me, it's Hurricon, H-U-R-R-I-C-O-N, at yahoo.com. You can get in touch with me right away. I'll answer any questions you got. I'd love to see you there. And like I said, it's the type of event that, you know, you're going to come to, you're going to feel safe, you're going to feel welcome. We want you there. We want you to come down and have a good time. Have some fun.
Awesome.
And support the church. Support the church, too.
That's right. All right. Thanks again, David.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Yeah.
We need to get the word out that the listeners can be involved with Geek Stuff TNG directly by using our GVM line
201-730-2547.
Maybe we could use our seductive voices?
Huh?
Our what?
All right, here. Let's read these lines in our most seductive voices, like this.
Hey there. We want you to be a part of Geek Stuff TNG with your questions and your comments.
Oh!
That's right. We want you to tell us what's on your mind. What we are doing that you like.
So call us on the GVM line, 201-730-2547, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Geek Stuff TNG.
Wow.
What?
Hey, Geek Stuff listeners, it's West Coast Scott here. Did you know I do a podcast with my lovely wife? Say hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Tell them about our podcast.
We do a weekly podcast where we talk about travel, conventions, Disneyland, and our growing family.
It's called The Piecast because we got married on Pi Day, and it's available wherever you find your podcast. You can also follow us on social media.
At Pi Day Family.
And my new Twitter handle is at Pi Day Scott. Check us out.
What's up? This is Mikey T, host of the Failing Hollywood Podcast. I'm just a guy who plays with props behind the scenes. On our show, we have guests who also work behind the scenes, and we joke around, we drop names, we tell real on-set stories. We even play some film games, only on the Failing Hollywood Podcast, found wherever podcasts can be found.
Build your own X-Wing. Luke Skywalker's legendary Red 5 Starfighter from the Star Wars saga. The X-Wing is recreated in stunning detail in a massive 1:18 scale and comes complete with remote-activated working lights, R2-D2, motorized wings, removable hyperdrive opening cockpit, and a magazine full of fascinating facts, plus an amazing step-by-step assembly guide. You will also receive a free binder, power pack, and bookends. Model space.
And now, another classic Geek Stuff ID.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Geek Stuff TNG.
Live from the Sandwich Shop, Pi Day Productions in sunny Southern California, and Big Kev Una Studios, it's Geek Stuff TNG. During our commercial break, you're from our amazing sponsor, BuildXWing.com. This model is in 1:18 scale, making it the only fully scaled, fully detailed X-Wing ever made for use with your 3 3/4 Star Wars action figures. This X-Wing features many amazing details, like the proton torpedo bay, working engine lights, and a light-up R2-D2. You can add your own boops, bops, and beeps. The S-foil is open to attack position. The laser cannons simulate firing, and the engine lights power up, all by remote control. we recommend you take them up on their do-do-do-do-do
premium offer.
You get 1/18 scale hangar accessories to create a detailed display of your X-Wing, including crates, tanks, personnel transporter, landing lamps, fuel pump, ladder, as well as several static figures, including ground crew members, and even Luke Skywalker himself. When you sign up for your subscription each month, in addition to your parts of the model, you'll get 4 full-color magazines featuring instructions for the parts you've received, fascinating articles about the original models used in the movies, and more. You can collect these great source materials in a free binder, which you'll receive as part of your subscription. As a fan of collectibles, you may have seen models like this online or shows or conventions, and I don't need to tell you, the price tag can be quite high. The genius of the system is that you're paying a little each month as well as having fun putting it together yourself. You can check out more info over at buildxwing.com or reach them by phone at 877-544-6779. Check them out today.
Oh man, hearing that just really, hearing him do the live read, but he may not even be alive anymore. That's awful. I hate to end this episode on a sad note, but be sure to check out the show on all the social medias, and you know, it's Geek Stuff TNG in all those places. You can even go to the link tree for Geek Stuff TNG or the website geekstufftng.com. You can celebrate the sandwich's life as Fat Dumbledore, FatDomBledore on Instagram and Twitter. His Twitter account is fantastic. It really represents who he was as a person. So, you know, go check that out. You can find Mr. Big Kev at BK Geek Stuff in most of the places. And then Geek Stuff GS in the other places. So please go check them out there. And you can find me at Pi Day Scott at all the different social medias, the threads, all of those different things. You also can, if you're supporting us on Patreon, you have access to the Discord server. So let's do a celebration of life on the Geek Stuff Discord server. And with that, I'm going to end this episode of Geek Stuff TNG, episode 768, the one we're calling Independence Day Hurricane, the way we end some episodes by saying, good night, sandwich, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
There's a guy outside the sandwich shop. He doesn't know that I am watching him from inside the window. And I'm trying to work him out. Doesn't seem the sort that would give to charity, but he'd give out cigarettes like they were free. And it's not that he's handsome, it's something about his scruffy hair. It's something about his glasses that give him that glazed over stare. And it's something about his jumper that seems anything but new. But the guy outside the sandwich shop, well, he doesn't know what to do. He'd only buy organic products, only shop for food once a week. But I reckon something happened to this guy to turn him into a beautiful geek. There's something about him that intrigues me. look away and they will be gone. Whoa. I knew there was something wrong. Yeah, I look away and they will be gone. I knew there was something wrong.
Keeps going through my head. Where's my sandwich?